Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Praise the Lord. It's a great, great confession, and especially to the extent that we believe it, God has really done something great for us in Christ. All right, today I want to go to the book of Colossians first. We're going to read in Colossians. We have a few verses here. We're going to read the whole first chapter. We went to Atlanta. One of my nieces had graduated, and I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he was saying how, you know, when they're online listening, he says, what I like about it, you know, your sermon takes time, you know, you spend time with the word. So we spend a little time in here. We don't get in and get out as fast as some do in terms of the Bible, but I think it's beneficial because it helps us, I think, to grow. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 1. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and doth bring forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now we're going to go to the book of James. That's right after Hebrews, James chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 15. All right, so let's go. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The last place we're going to go, 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy. And we're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read a couple of verses there out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then we'll read, and then we'll see if we can get in here for today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at that chapter there. Let's read it now. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times shall some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray today that your word will go forth, even as we have already read it, and a blessing is upon it. We don't need to do anything to interpret it. Your word speaks plainly for itself. Father, help us that we might hear what the Spirit is saying, that we might grow thereby. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today I'm entitling the message, simply, Take Heed Unto Thyself. Take heed unto thyself. And my thesis, or at least I hope where I'm going to be when I get to the end of this, is that if you wish to escape the tricks and the schemes of the devil, you have to learn how to take heed unto yourself. You listen to what Sister Miranda said, this falls right into what she was talking about. If you wish to escape the tricks and the schemes of the devil, you must learn to take heed unto yourself. What Paul said to Timothy right there at the end of 1 Timothy, as he was talking to him, he told him to meditate upon the things he had told him, that his profiting might appear to all. In other words, Paul was suggesting to Timothy that if you do what I'm telling you, there's no way people can't look at you and your life and be able to say, something is going on there. Something is working. And Paul, he tells him that if you do this, meditate on these things, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine that you are getting, not only will you be able to help save yourself, but the people who are listening to you. So in other words, Paul made it clear that just because Jesus has come and all these things happened, you got a part to play in this. And as well, for the people who hear you, there's a part that you play in what happens in their lives. And so all of us have to realize that. In other words, like Sister Miranda said, I mean, however she's acting, doing stuff, all of this can have impact on what's going on around her, not just around her, but also with her. Take heed unto yourself, which is basically what she did in that moment, was to say, you know what, instead of focusing on these other people right now, let me focus on me. Let me go back to the word, take heed to myself, and let me see where I fall in this right now, and let me let God guide me to where I need to be. One of the things that I want to pay attention to, or I want you to just think about, is that almost every letter that Paul starts, and he starts it even when he did Colossians, you know, one of the things that he says is, you know, grace unto you and peace from God the Father. Many times what people fail to realize, and I keep saying this, you know, when it comes to us as Christians, is that we fail to recognize that we have been translated, the Bible tells us, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God. The Bible says, Jesus said that once we come into the kingdom of God, God is now our Father. Now, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your own earthly father, but the reality is that our fathers are responsible for our upbringing in our household and this kind of thing, right? And if it's done properly, then they have a role that they play in how they're raising us and where we see them. We saw already where the Bible says that God, as our Father, is interested in us partaking of his holiness. This is why he disciplines us and chastens us, not because he's mad, but because God is trying to get us to be more like he is, because now we're his children. The sooner we get this down and believe it, the easier this life becomes for us, because then we stop worrying so much about the devil, whose kingdom we're not in. We are in God's kingdom, and God has us covered. When we have trouble and situations and problems, we're supposed to be looking to our Father to say, Father, what is going on right now? What is happening right now? So when the Bible, Paul starts off saying, grace unto you and peace from God the Father. Put that first verse back up there on so they can see in the sanctuary. Look at that. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, even though it says which are at Colossae, that's everybody. All of us who are the faithful saints and brethren in Christ, look at what he says. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you have to see is that Jesus is in heaven, the Father is in heaven sitting on the throne, and if they had anything to say to you today, it would be grace unto you and peace from God our Father. Wow. In other words, you know how it is when you walk in your room and you wonder what's on your daddy's mind, maybe. Is he mad? Is he this? I feel for the children whose parents are abusive and things like that because they don't have a real relationship with how parents ought to be. But here we have God saying to you what he feels toward us. God's not mad. Yeah, I may be going through some stuff that I don't like, which the devil will try to make me believe God's mad and that's why that's happening. But the Bible does tell me, like they said during the announcements, next week we do our communion. And God said when we're doing communion, we have to understand we come to the table to judge ourselves. He said, if we do this unworthily, we eat and drink damnation to ourselves, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sick, and many die early, because God chastens us as his children, so we will not be partakers with the world when they're judged. So God says, if you won't come to the table and judge yourself, I'm going to have to do it. He says, for this reason, many are weak and sick and die early. He says, you wouldn't die early or get sick and weak unless what? You're just getting attacked by the devil. Then we need to talk about that separate. All right? But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about that just as the children of God, we're faithful. We understand that what? God's message to us is grace and peace. What does that mean? The word grace means spiritual favor and blessing. So this is what God is saying to you. He's sitting on his phone and he says, spiritual blessing and peace unto you. Spiritual favor and blessing unto you. Hey, I take it. When I get up in the morning, I'm like, thank you, Father, for the spiritual blessing and favor. I'm about to walk out of this door with spiritual favor and blessing. I don't walk out of here looking for the devil to do nothing to me unless I've done something for him to allow him to get in my space. Everything that you read in the paper is just craziness, you know. The Baptists have just released their list of the hundreds of pastors who have been involved in sexual abuse of members and things of this nature, some listed by name, others not necessarily. And with all this going on, we've talked before about the temptations that are out there that people are dealing with. It's one thing to get up in the pulpit and preach messages. It's another thing to wear suits and wear robes and all of that. It's another thing to have righteousness acting out in your life. Just because we get up here and just because we preach, all that stuff does not shield us from the devil getting in our lives. Sometimes what people will do is through that authority that they have, which is how some of these pastors have been able to cover this up for so long, because the people are either afraid to tell, or the children won't tell, or somebody is guarding their idea of what we supposed to be, when the reality is, Paul said, what you really need to have is godliness that works, not something that appears to be godliness and no power behind it. You see, we have to understand, because all of us as believers, this is what we're up against. I saw a man in the paper. They got a man literally chasing a dog. He broke into some business and tried to rape the dog. The dog even got a full stride going, like, I got to get up out of here. You know, when the dog got enough sense to know he got to run, I was like, oh, my goodness, something is wrong with this. The world concentrating on wealth and things and stuff, and it's not that God doesn't want to bless us and give us what we need, but we need to understand what the focus is supposed to be right now. The focus is, I'm now in the family of God, and I want to be the best child of God I can be. I want God. I don't want to live under pressure, but I want to be the best child. I want God to be pleased with my life. So Paul then tells us, when we look in Colossians, he tries to help us to first see and understand that the reality is that everything that's been created was created by Jesus. God the Father through Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We don't fully understand the mystery of how this all happened, but we know that in Christ, that Christ is God himself, and that God himself, the Father, are two separate beings. How that all works, we don't know. God says he keeps the secret things to himself, but the things that he's revealed belong to us. So we know that he tells us that in the beginning, all things were created by him, and without him was nothing created that was created. Now, this then should help to help you feel better about all the devils and demons and craziness going on. Look at that. Put that verse back up there. Look at what this verse says. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. That means every angel. And that is in earth. That means every spirit, whether it's a demon or whatever, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, in case you got any questions or doubts, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. So now, then when you remember back in the book of Ephesians, when we did a couple weeks ago, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But that stuff doesn't have anything to do with them having authority over God. Those things were created by God. People say, well, why then should we have this trouble? Because as humans, we have to get through this fight. That's why if you look at the messages over the last few weeks, the origin of your authority, fight back, authentic spiritual warfare, and last week, strengthen your resolve. God is in heaven saying, grace unto you and peace from God the Father. And Jesus is saying the same thing. But you got a war on your hands. You got to understand that last week when I said that, well, Eve, people say, well, I wouldn't let that happen to me. I said, well, we don't have any perfect women today. We just don't. Eve was perfect, and the devil tricked her. So that should be enough for everybody to say, you know what? I need to get my head on. Because if she was perfect and he tricked her, that means he can trick me. Adam, come on, Adam. Bottom line is that whatever went on between you and Eve, Adam was perfect. So if whatever went on between you and Eve went on, then that means it could go on between me and whoever my wife is. Every man needs to understand that he ain't above whatever he thinking, because that just ain't so. The bottom line is that we all in this thing together. We all got kicked out the garden together. And we all dealing with this same devil. And Jesus came, defeated him, and then translated us into his kingdom when we believe. Now that we're in his kingdom, he's now saying what? We got to fight an authentic fight. See, Paul said, take on the whole armor of God. And we talked about it. We said part of the armor. We said what? Truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer, perseverance. All this is the armor of God. The truth. What is the truth? The devil don't run nothing. The only thing he run is his people. That's all he run. That's the truth. You can say, well, Pastor, it sure don't look like it out there. Read the Bible. And nothing in this Bible that ever shows that God abdicated his throne in heaven. Nothing in this Bible ever shows that God is not in control and always has been in control. Anytime God was ready to do something, he did it. He showed up at the burning bush and Moses was like, ooh, what is that? And he said, go tell Pharaoh this. He said, well, I can't talk. He said, I made your mouth. Go ahead and tell him. He told him, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I ain't letting nobody go. Who is that God that's going to make me let them go? And when it was over, by the time it was done, Pharaoh and his army was drowned in the Red Sea. God made it clear. When they went into the promised land, it was time to go. They ain't want to go. God said, that's fine. The children y'all concerned about, they going in and y'all going to die in the wilderness. And sure enough, 40 years, they went round and round and died in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe God when he said to go in. Well, once God said that, they said, we going in, then we'll go. And Moses told them, don't go. God ain't going to be with you. They said, we going. So they went, and guess what? They say them giants chased them out of there like bees. And when it was all over, they ended up dying in the wilderness like God said. See, the truth of the matter is God has been in charge. God said, look, if I was hungry, I ain't going to ask none of y'all. Y'all confused. God said, look, I own everything. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. Everything is mine. I have a plan, and I'm letting this thing play itself out, because eventually what's going to happen is a man is going to rise. And when he rises up, he will be the anti-man of who I was when I was here. Christ, anti-Christ. And when the anti-Christ arises, he will be the culmination of everything that man thinks he can be. He will finally declare himself as God, and all the people will say, yes, that's what we are. We run everything. There is no God. We are God. We control our destiny. And that is when God says the culmination of it is over, and then y'all gonna see it's gonna be on. But that's where we're going. God's not, you know, he ain't lack. I mean, but no, we are in the kingdom of God. But God is saying this, I need y'all to take heed to yourself. This is what he told Paul. He said, Paul, take heed to yourself. If you, Pastor White, don't want to be on that list, because it ain't stuck just at the Baptist church now. It ain't just stuck with the Catholic priests. It ain't just stuck in no particular denomination. Sexual sin and abuse runs all over the place. And if you allow yourself to get captured by that spirit, I don't care what church you in, or what place you at, the bottom line is, it'll get you. Now, so you need to take heed to yourself. So forget that list of people, even though you see them on there and you see names, and some people like, I can't believe he on that. Why you can't believe he on that? See, that right there is the first error we make. We need to understand anybody could be on there. And so we got to start with the understanding that the way we end up in these places is by, first of all, failing to take heed to ourselves. The Bible says plainly that God desires us to live right through the power and the Spirit of Jesus. See, a lot of times people will take that away. They're like, look, we're Christians. You trying to put this thing on us. You trying to make us carry works, going to get us saved, and a yoke around our neck. And that ain't what I'm doing. All I'm telling you is that Jesus did not die on the cross, go through all of that, go to heaven and release the Holy Spirit so we could live in sin. Now, the Bible makes that so plain. God says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We are now in the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost has been released. He empowers us. And now we pray and ask God to help us do what? Persevere through the truth. Even when we're getting attacked. Even when we're being tempted. Not because God is tempting us, because the word tells us. Let's go see what it says in James. But God gives us the answer to the question sometimes that people are wondering about. Now, in James, this is what it says. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So now the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to count it joy when temptation shows up. Now, y'all know it didn't say, my brethren, it is joy. You see that, right? Y'all know what it means to count? Yeah, you know, it's like you got money. Yeah, y'all know when you're counting your money. You count. Counting means count. It's not, he says, count it. So when you're counting, you just go one, two, you know, this is a dollar bill. If I say count it as 10, then if you had a $1 bill in your hand, you would say it was 10. Count it as 10. So in other words, I'm going to give you $10 for every one you have. Just count it as 10. So you pull out your one, you count it as 10. It's not a 10, but you're counting it as 10. Count it all joy. It ain't joy. It don't feel good. It ain't happy. I don't like it. But God said, count it. Now, why, God, should I count it joy when these temptations show up? God tells me why. All right, look at what he says in the next verse. You need to know something. Now, see, if you don't know this, that's why you can't count it joy. You got to know this, though. Now, you and knowing this, folks, it's one thing to say you know something. It's another thing to go back to what I told y'all in the beginning. Today, I will believe and confess. See, if you believe and confess what we confessed when we started, Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. You believe that? Then guess what? You surely shouldn't have a problem. I tell people, let's put the physical healing aside for a minute then, because there's some who don't believe that God wants everybody healed. They don't believe it. Fine. Can we at least believe spiritually he wants you healed? Because they can get with that one, because they can't see it, you see. Stuff you can't see, easy to believe for them. So they'll tell you in these churches, that's spiritual healing. Okay, well, good then. Well, can we get our spirits healed? All I know is that a spiritually healed man don't go around abusing children. A spiritually healed man don't go around abusing women. A spiritually healed man don't go around raping dogs. Spiritually healed people don't act like that. Yeah, so if I get spiritually healed, then that's what I got to believe. By his stripes, by every time they hit Jesus, by his stripes, I am healed. So although temptation may come my way, I got to know I'm healed. I got to know this, though. Why am I being tested? Why is this still happening? Why is God letting this happen if he said, grace unto you, spiritual favor and blessing unto you? Why then, God, are you letting this pressure get on me? Well, here he's telling you right here. Because the trying of your faith works patience. But why do I need patience, you say? See, in other words, now you know you're getting tested this way because it works your patience. But why do I need patience? It says, let patience have her perfect work. See, patience is accomplishing something. See, patience got a job to do. And in order for patience to get its job done, you got to have it. And the only way you can have it is you got to go through something. And see, and while you're going through it, while you're being tempted, you see, you got to hold on. That's why Paul said one of the weapons of our warfare against these devils is what? Perseverance. Just plant your feet and persevere. Just hold on. Just believe God. I know Pastor said he was coming to pick me up, but he ain't here yet. Did he tell you what time he was coming? Nope. Well, then you need to wait. If you didn't nail him down to a time, then if I was you, I would wait. Because I've never known him not to come get you if he said he was coming. Now, I might not have that testimony, but the God I know, yeah. Oh, that's him. Yeah. Unless you can nail him down to a time, then you just need to hold on. If he said something, yeah. Oh, he gonna do it now. Yeah. you can believe that. He's going to do it. It may take him some time, but that's not because he can't move now. Sometimes we just ain't ready for stuff. And we got to understand that. You see, so God says patience has to get its perfect work because, see, if you were where you were supposed to be, you wouldn't be all frustrated. Where you at, God? Where you at? Where you at? God, like, I'm where I always been. Why are you pacing so? Because we ain't ready yet. See, God knows. God said, look, if you was ready, you'd just be sitting there. Because you already know I'm on time, God. I do what I got to do when I'm ready. So all you got to do is be waiting for me. But because you're pacing and talking and running your mouth, that ought to tell you you ain't ready yet. See, you know you're ready when you're ready. Yeah, you're ready. How you know when the food is cooked? They bring it out. They tell you cut in it. And depending on what you ask for, you got to look at it. Well, God says, look now, I'm going to need you to act like I run the world. This is why I don't even like to read the paper most of the time. Because most of what's going on in there ain't got nothing to do with me. That's the way I look at it. Boy, that's a kingdom, man, I sure wouldn't want to be living in. Yeah, you know, every time you go out to go get your grocery out your car, somebody might jump on you and rob your grocery and beat you upside the head. Every time something happens, somebody, you know, I'm just glad we're not subject to that. Now, people look at me and they'll say, I'm crazy. They do this. Well, man, you crazy. That world out there. Okay, well, you believe what you choose to believe. But you do realize why it would make sense that if you believe that way, why it ought to come into your life. Surely you don't expect God to do the God thing he claimed he does, which works by faith, if you don't have no faith. You think, God just supposed to do it? That's not how that works. Uh-uh. That's like if I am the biggest guy in the school, I'm your brother, and when we come to school, everybody know, don't touch you. They're not going to touch you. If it's really true that I'm the biggest guy in the school and nobody touches you when I'm around, they ain't going to touch you. They're not going to do it. And that's why you walk around like this. That's my brother. That's my brother. Well, it's the same thing with God. Well, that's our God. My God sits on the throne. He told me everything he created, and by his power and authority, it moves. So then I'm not afraid unless I know I ain't doing what my daddy told me to do. Now, if I ain't taking heed to myself and I'm playing around with the devil still, then I need to be scared because my daddy done already told me I'm going to discipline you. So I should be looking for something to come. If I'm doing stuff, I ain't got no business, especially if I don't repent and acknowledge it is wrong. Now, it's one thing. We ain't perfect. Got it. But you know what? God know that, too. Now, put that back up there. That's why you got to know this. Look what it says. Knowing this, but let patience have her perfect work. See, patience need to work. What is patience trying to get to? That you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, does that word perfect mean you don't do nothing wrong like Adam and Eve? Mm-mm. That word perfect there means complete, mentally and morally in your character. In other words, when you wrong, you know you wrong. You don't sit there and debate all day that it's okay for you to act a fool when you know you wrong. God don't act a fool at no time. So it don't matter how foolish you acting, I have to respond the way God responds. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be complete. See, God's intention is to make us like him. So all this stuff is happening with an intention. Patience is to bring about what? Perfection in my entirety. That I'm what? Lacking nothing. That don't mean that I don't have a bill to pay. That don't mean lacking, like some of these people preaching. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but some of these people preaching, that's why I got on the thing, take heed to yourself, and the girl pointed at the money. She got money in her hand. Everybody think, you know, oh, money, 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 and this and that and the other. And God's like, look, you know what? Y'all worrying about all that worldly stuff, and you're going to die. Cannot take it with you. You're going to die. And the point is, you're going to meet me, and I'm going to be like, God, man, don't you think you could have done yourself a little more justice? You could have become more like me. The Bible says if we exercise ourselves unto godliness, that it's profitable not only later, but now. That God says godliness has a profit in it today for us. Now think about this. He says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So in other words, God is saying now, I know you got a bill due, but you ain't talking about it. You ain't whining. You ain't whatever. They say, well, they didn't get paid. It still don't matter. See, in other words, you don't base your life on doctrines that other people done set up for you. Because you don't know what God really is doing at any given moment, but you know God is in charge. So if for some reason something doesn't go the way I think it ought to go, or the way other people are telling me it should go, I don't change my mind about God. See, my mind is made up. I understand that God is who he says he is. It don't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what's going on with me. God is who he says he is, and I'm going to stick to that. I'm not changing. Why? Because God has worked in me. See, once he's worked in you and patience has worked in you, you reach a place where you stop having these expectations based on things that are not scriptural. See, God is who he says he is. God, look, this is why I keep telling people, one of the most dangerous doctrines I think we have floating around at times is this whole rapture thing. You know, everybody keeps saying, get ready, you never know. God could come at any time. And then we just all going to disappear. And we ain't got a clue why we disappeared, and you ain't going to have a clue why you got left. People say, well, the ones left behind ought to just know they wasn't right. What was wrong with me? God, can you tell me? Can you give me some clue? Because everybody left. I didn't leave. Let's say we all sitting here right now, and it's true what people say. And then everybody in the middle of the church gone. And then it's just, well, I don't want y'all. I'm going to let y'all go too. All right. Well, let's just say this. Frank will look like he'll hang with me. Ain't nobody left but me and Frank. Everybody gone. Then I'd be like, bro, what happened? And he'd be, Pastor, I thought I was right. I said, well, I thought I was too. I'm up here preaching. They all gone. God! Well, he ain't going to respond no more than he responded. But how am I going to know what happened? See, to me, it make more sense like Jesus said. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? See, it makes sense to me that the pressure going to just keep building. Things going to keep getting bad and worse, and things are not going to be going down the prosperity line we love. You know, we love that. You know, God just give us everything we want all the time when we want it. So now all of a sudden, I don't get to eat but one meal a day. Oh, that can't be God. And then the next thing you know, when all of the stuff we see maybe in other countries make its way here, then we really know God ain't real. Because you know he the God of America, right? Well, he is. I mean, that's the reason why we're here, right? I mean, because it's God bless America, God, and that's how we got here. But when all of a sudden things are not as good as they should be, we start doubting God. And we start questioning whether or not he's real. To me, that makes better sense. See, keep putting the pressure on them. Keep putting the pressure on them. Look at the Israelites. God told Joseph, I'm going to deliver your people. But they were in Egypt for 400 years as slaves. Folks, do you know how many generations go through 400 years? And your mama there talking about great-great-grandpa said, God coming for us. Really? That's an old fable people start saying after a while, especially when you get to year 300. You still got another 100 years to go before God showed up. You got some old guy who was born a baby, and his mama told him God was coming. He's 70, and God ain't here yet. The first 100 years, I can't imagine. Maybe we keep hope alive. Second 100, third 100. America ain't even 300 years old. Can you imagine? Think about it. No, I think that people, as it gets harder and harder, they get less and less inclined to believe God. So here God says you need to let patience have her perfect work. This is why you coming up against stuff. This is why stuff happens. Because the longer you got to put up with stuff and then finally God breaks through, you're like, wow. The Bible says tribulation works patience. Patience experience. And experience gives you hope. See, when you're going through, tribulation works your patience. But the Bible says patience brings about experience. See, when you go to work somewhere, the first thing they ask you is, what kind of experience you got? Why are they asking you that? Because they already know. They can release you to do certain things depending on how much experience you have. But if not, they expect certain mistakes because they already know you don't understand how this works. So the idea is patience works experience. See, that's why when you get older, and you're 60, 70, 80, people start looking at young people like, just chill out. It's going to be all right, you tell him. Look, trust me. I know it feel bad. I know it don't look like God ever going to come. He coming. And they're like, it's just him, Pastor. I just don't know. I said, just trust me. He coming. I've been there. Trust me. I've been so depressed. Depressed didn't have an S in it. I was so depressed. And they're like, you just look like you got it going on. Yeah, today I do, huh? But I tell you, there was a time. You know, and that's what you tell them. And if they can, if they'll just take heed and believe it, go through. Because you're coming out on the other side. And when you come out on the other side, you're going to believe God even more than you ever did. And you'll look back and you'll realize that you don't need God to do anything to believe him now. You just look at his word and you have confidence in what he said. You're not looking for him to do nothing. You're not looking for a billboard. You ain't looking for a bumper sticker. Do it. You ain't looking for nothing. You know God did it. You're not looking to walk up. Somebody got a T-shirt on, say, today is your day. Look, I don't need none of that. God said, today is my day in the word, so today is my day. Pastor, ain't looking like it. I don't care what it look like. I walk by faith and not by sight. That's what God said. Now, the Bible tells me plainly. Look at what it says here in verse 13. Now, let's look at it. Let no man say when he's tempted. So he's telling me right here. Now, stuff is coming at me. I'm tempted. He said, don't say God is doing that to you. I'm tempted of God. That's a lie. That's not true. God ain't tempting you. And the Bible tells us in one place, for God cannot be tempted with evil. You can't even test God with evil because God is above that. See? Now people say, well, Jesus was tempted. Right. Jesus is God, man. Fully man, fully God. And so the man part of Jesus, the devil did attempt to tempt. He tried to get him to take his throne ahead of time. He tried to get him to jump off the pinnacle and prove that he was God. He tried to get him to compensate for his flesh because he was hungry and go ahead, eat. He tempted the man because he knew if I can destroy that man, I destroy y'all. Why? Because by his stripes, we're healed. See, so if he could destroy Jesus, then he got us all. We ain't never, all of us were just doomed. 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 But he didn't destroy Jesus, was able to make it through. Bible called him the second Adam, and he walked perfectly before God, tempted in all points like us without sin. Therefore, the Bible says we can boldly come to Jesus at the throne because what? He's been tempted. He knows what we're going through. But we got to come to him and say it and tell him, help us, empower me. And Paul said, through my temptation, I know when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So now he said, I'll glory in my weakness. When it's coming on me and I know this man part of me wants to give up, God, I know I need you and you're the only one that can bring me through this moment I'm going through right now. It doesn't feel like I can make it, but I know I can because your spirit will empower me. See, it's not anymore about what I'm able to do because I ain't got no ability. Once you understand it, see, then God's got you right where he can use you. But you gotta know, you ain't got nothing in you God need. The part in you is that part the devil looking to mess with, and we gotta know it. So he says, let no man say when I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, none that does he go around tempting people. Y'all see that? God don't do that. Think about all the stuff people say out there. Well, you know, Sister So-and-so is sick, did you hear? She's been sick a long time. Well, the Lord probably got her carrying her cross. Why are they lying on the Lord? Now, I know y'all done heard it. Keep a straight face. You know you done heard that. And hopefully you ain't saying it. Well, you know I'm broke, but the Lord, you know, we all got a cross we got to bear. Broke and not a cross you got to bear. Folks, we just need to find some jobs and some work and make us some money. That's what we need to do. Broke ain't no cross. It might feel like one, but it is not a cross. God does not say, well, I'm going to make you broke and see how you handle it. Don't believe him. That ain't true. Remember the armor of God, truth. Let's put some truth on. Here's some truth. When stuff is coming my way and I don't like it, I'm going to battle it with truth. This God ain't got nothing to do with this, I'm going to say. Unless I'm going to go over to the scriptures in communion. I was in communion last week, knowing that while I was taking it, I was thinking about my mama and how crazy she is and she need to get herself together. If it wasn't for her, my life would be better.
That is not good. You don't want to take communion like that.
You want to take communion saying, my mom, I don't understand. I love her though anyway. And the Bible says, honor your father and mother. First commandment, we promise that it may go well with you. God, forgive me for having even a thought against her that ain't even right. Even if she wasn't never right, God, she is my mama. Whoa, 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 whoa. And crawl up under the pew. And the Bible says you will walk away blessed. God say, you walk away blessed and you get a whole nother month to live good before God. That's how we do that. Don't get tempted into this. Look at what it says. But every man, verse 14, every man is tempted. It tells us how it happens. So all these people that have been tempted and all these things they didn't got into. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. It's yours. Own it. This is why I said, take heed unto yourself. Own it. So this sexual abuse stuff, bro, just own it. Ain't nobody trying to hear about all other stuff. You got to own this. You got to realize there's something in you. Now, we got to understand this. When it comes to sex, I'm not going to get too deep in all this, and I ain't going to need to. When it comes to sex, sexual things are easy for the devil to manipulate on the human level, both male and female, because that's a human basic need that we have, basically, that God put into mankind, this sexual kind of thing. So the devil then can manipulate that, which is an ordinary desire. Watch this. It's an ordinary desire. As people grow older, Paul, matter of fact, God even said it. I ain't say this now. Don't get mad at me. God said, if you want to avoid fornication, let every man get him a wife and every woman get her husband. That's what he said. If you want to avoid it, he said, unless you got the gift. If you ain't got the gift, he said, you're going to probably need to get you a wife or a husband. Now, if God said that, then come on now, we're going to live with truth. Well, Pastor Wade said that. Okay, well, hold on. Let me go on over there because some people, y'all looking at me like, I don't know if God said that. I don't know if God said that. Okay, well, let me go on over here right quick and read it right out of the Bible. 1 Corinthians, that should be in chapter 7, I believe. Y'all say, well, Pastor, you found that pretty quick. You know right where that one's at, huh? All right, it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So Paul like, hey, it's good. That's pretty good. You just want to be a hermit? That's great. People get saved. Hermits are great. He says it's a wonderful thing. He said, nevertheless, let's talk about reality. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Now, that's truth. Since there ain't no sense in nobody getting mad, that's truth. God says, I'm trying to get y'all to understand something now. Sexuality is an issue that the devil will tap into if he can. So everybody needs to understand that as an area that's temptable for many. Okay? And so that means then that there are variations of how the enemy can use this area where some people fall into worse temptations than others at some point because they allow themselves to fall into this crack. So this is why you end up with people abusing children and other things that they're doing, but it's all still tied to sex. So you got to realize that area is an area that people need to guard against, period. You just need to understand it. So when James says that a person is drawn away of his own desire or lust, then you have to understand everyone is susceptible to this area because this is a desire that God says unless you're gifted, you're going to have it. So this then helps me to guard myself when I begin to see things occurring. He says, but there's a process. He says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desire and he's enticed. Then he says, when lust conceives. See, it don't just happen. Now here's our victory. Our victory is to get away. Conception is where the problem takes place because it's after conception that sin comes forth. So in other words, if I'm drawn away of a desire I have, it's my responsibility to cut off the pathway to conception. See, it's my responsibility, not God. God ain't coming down there and doing nothing. And sometimes he does, in the sense that he makes a way of escape. The Bible says God will make a way of escape so that what? You will have a way to get out. He says, I never allow you to be tempted above what you're able. I'll make a way to get out. But you know there are a lot of people, y'all, they ain't looking. Done stumbled their way all the way to the triple X store. Done had 6 flat tires. Done got robbed. And fell in a hole. Only to crawl out and make their way to that triple X store. Now, God can't give you no more than a robbery, a hole in the floor, and some other stuff for you to finally say, you know what? You got to call on God. Because you're not going to be able to say there wasn't no reason you ended up in this store. Oh, yeah, you did. You fell in the hole. You got them, dust yourself off. You got robbed. And you put your hand down and kept on walking. And the next thing you know, you was in that store. Pay attention next time to what's going on in your life when you're running into something you don't want to do. And see how many things done happened to stop you from doing it. You just fire that little computer up. Finna go to that site. And next thing, you ain't got internet. Your internet done got cut off. And you like, wait a minute. You at XXXLetMeCheckItOut.com and trying to figure out why it's just spinning. It's just spinning. Spinning. It's time for you to shut that computer off. They're like, no, I got... Wait, every man got to have a computer. I got that. I'm good. But what you better do is figure out how to get your way from going down that conception road. People say, well, I don't need nobody to be checking on me. Well, then you should never be in that place. But if you ever find yourself over there, I suggest... You give me a link. They got them. They call accountability eyes. So as soon as your computer go to X, it just say X. It don't have to say X. X. It send pastor email. Now, if that'll stop you, I started telling people, you want to overcome sin, this is the best way to do it. Try to see God as the one person you don't want to know your business. Like me. All right. And then maybe y'all want me to know. I don't know. But let's say, for instance, you know you be going places you ain't got no business. Okay? And you always look, you know that's how people doing it. Got the door locked. Others, gone down the street. Then went to your little NordVPN that don't let nobody see no sites you're going to. All that you done covered your bases. But then here, pastor, face pop up. And you like, oh, my God, when I get there Sunday, I can already, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. You know, all these things that you would feel. You got to see it this way with God. You got to say to yourself, you can't lock God out. You can't pull the shade down and God don't see. God is looking at everything we're doing. And when you do that, that's when you humble yourself. And you say, God, you know I got problems. I'm going to need you to help me. I got problems. I can hide this from everyone else, Lord, but you see. And your word says that you gave me a spirit that would deliver me from these things. I need you to be strong in your word, Lord. Please, I acknowledge my weakness. I acknowledge I have pride. I acknowledge my transgressions. Please do something to help me. Then God can break you free. But see, but other than that, as long as I think I can hide and be whatever, and do my thing, and God's got, it ain't, you never break free. But if you pay attention, I'm telling you, you're going to see God trying all along the way, sending interference, and the devil doing all kind of stuff to shut it down. And then, at some point, yeah, look, you know, you done made your way there. The Bible says, when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. People say, well, Pastor, how do you know it's conceived? Just look, sin. All you got to do is look. When the sin happens, it conceives. And all you got to do is go back through the process and ask yourself, what happened? At what point did it happen? And then back yourself up, and you're going to see somewhere I'm not cutting off something. I got to realize, and the enemy will help oblige me to this. See, now this is what the Bible says. And we read this in 1 Timothy. That's why Timothy said, Paul told Timothy, now you better take heed to yourself. He said, because if you take heed to yourself, not only will you save yourself, but the people that hear you. He said, I need you to study this now, Timothy, and pay attention to what I'm telling you. This is what he says, and I read it to you in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said in verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading. Y'all see that? Reading. Some people don't read, like Sister Miranda say today. Why people don't just read? Read the Bible. Well, I don't know what reading gonna do. Look, God said read. It has a way. It does something. I don't know how the word works, but God say read it. Read. Exhortation. Doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in you. He's telling him, don't neglect this gift. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them that your profiting may appear to all. Now, leave that right there. Meditate. Meditate upon these things. In other words, like Pastor saying this to you today. You can take that and run on off. I done said so much, you might not have heard all of what I even said. Are you hurt now? But if you take a part of it and say, you know, I need to think about what he just said. Yeah. Meditate on this. Yeah. In other words, the next time you get ready to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, whatever that is, you've resolved, I ain't doing that no more. Let's say, for instance, you decided, let's try to stay on something that people got might be all right with. You said, I'm not spending any more money than I make anymore. That's it. This is it. It's over. This month, I will spend what I make. Now, let's say you have no unusual bills. Nothing. Nothing. All your bills are the same, and you can pay them. All right? And you always have at least $10 left. So I give you $10. That's all you got. Because some people are like, Pastor, everybody ain't got no money. Okay, you got $10 left. All your bills are paid. You have $10. And you said, I'm not going to spend all my money anymore. All right, now. You paid your bills, and here you go. You sitting in front of your TV. First thing gonna pop up, something. I don't know what it's gonna be. Dairy Queen, Burger King, Pizza Hut. Everybody can afford a dollar, it's gonna say. You don't only go around once in life. What you saving it for? Can't take it with you. Now you're gonna be hearing all this, right? Because you know you that $10 burning a hole in here. And it already know if you get the next month, you're going to have 20. And the next month, 30. There's something in you saying, you know you want that. Now, God ain't nowhere. Don't be talking about God. Well, God tested me to see if I can. God ain't nowhere messing with you by that $10 in your pocket. That's you. Then you get in your car. You see a sign up there. Whatever it said, $10 down is all you need. I need a new phone. I really do. They don't want but $10. I mean, I got 10. I mean, I could start next month. I said I wasn't going to spend all my money. See, this is how it happens. And it's going around in my head and around in my head. And then something happens. Your phone rang. Yep, you ain't thinking about getting no phone or nothing, are you? Something go happen. And you'll say, now where'd that come from? That's odd. No, ain't odd. That's God. Not as God. God shows up. God said, look, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able. I can see what's happening. But with the way of temptation, I'm going to make a way for you to get out. Now make a decision. You could just make a decision. But you say, no, that's how I hang up. Next thing you know, you're in the store. You done spent your $10 down. You got your new phone. All right. That's the process. That's how it works with anything. If I say, I'm not going to eat any more chocolate cake, some kind of way I'm going to get home and Sister Lori going to have five of them there. Not because she's the tempter, but because I've said to myself, I'm not going to eat any more chocolate cake. She, for some reason, today. Now, I'm not going to say because the devil told her. It don't even matter who told her. She just came up with the idea. Today is a good day to have some chocolate cake. Well, when I get there, I got to make a decision. You going to eat that or not? She ain't the tempter. I'm tempted in myself. You say, well, Pastor, but the point is you can't help yourself but eat it. Okay, that's where God got to be. Either I could say to her, look, I need you to get this out of here. Just get it completely out of the house. Or I got to come up with a way not to do it. You see, the idea is that I have to come to a place where I believe something. I got to know this, that my faith is getting tried. Not because God is trying it, but my lust, my desire is trying it. For whatever reason, I can't have this no more. But I gotta have it, I say. And I'm gonna find everything to blame it on but me. Now, I might be addicted. Let's say I'm addicted. I have an addiction. Well, maybe you need a chain. Let's say I'm addicted to chocolate cake. And Sister Lori is not, and she wants to have some in the house. Well, then she needs to chain the refrigerator where it's at. And I might need to chain myself so that in the middle of the night, oh, when I get ready to get up and I'm going to sneak out to the refrigerator while she's sleeping, that chain catch me at the bed. And I'm like, whoa. She like, what you doing? Nothing. You know what's on your mind trying to get to that refrigerator. Do y'all think that everything it ate in your refrigerator at night, the boogeyman ate it? You know how you go to bed and you know you left something in there and you come back and it's gone? Somebody been up. It might not be you, but somebody ate it. So you got to understand how this is working. And God says, I would love to help you, but I can't step into that. I need you to let truth handle this for you. You're going to have to accept truth. And you're going to have to either pick up the phone and say, Pastor, look, this is what I decided to do. From now on, when I get ready to eat that chocolate cake, I resolve, I'm going to pick up the phone and call you. Okay. And then you call me. And I'm like, man, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Right? But you got to get a plan. You got to realize you are in your flesh. And you must come to a place where you recognize that the temptation is not the devil and all that, even though he may provide opportunities. He can't make, he go back and read the garden. He did not shove that fruit in Eve's mouth. What he did was talk to her about it, told her what it was going to do for her, tell her what it was going to make her. And the more she concentrated on it, Bible says, she agreed with him and she took it. Now, where does this stuff come from? Well, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Holy Spirit, look at what Paul says. Now the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the last time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now I'm going to read this to you in Amplified. Leave it up there like you got it right there. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Do y'all hear that? Now, that didn't say people will leave church. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, some shall leave church. He says some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines that devils teach. So you can literally come into church and the devil teaching you. I ain't say pastor was a devil. I say the doctrine is a doctrine that demons teach. Now, I don't understand how anybody could escape some of the stuff that go on out there when Paul plainly said, they that love money are going to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and they that covet after it will pierce themselves through. Yet there's teaching upon teaching upon teaching upon teaching about financially making it, so to speak. When the reality is, I got it, I get that, but Jesus said, this is the prayer, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. That's it. Give me my daily bread. I don't need to worry about all the rest of all that. Let me just do what I'm supposed to do, and I'll take care of business. This is why many people in the world don't want to come to church, because they're like, look, man, I go there. Y'all talking about the same stuff that I got at the conference. Yeah, I went to the conference for my company, and the stuff y'all talking about, the same thing they talking about. I came here to hear about God. I didn't come here to hear about my money all the time. I came here to hear about God. Can you tell me how to escape hell? I'm not so interested. I can tell you quick how to pay your bills. Get your money, take it to the people and give it to them. Well, Pastor, what if I ain't got no money? Well, then it sounds like you have too many bills. Now, people might say, well, Pastor, but I got these bills. They came. I got that. But God did not tell me, the gospel was coming here and try to tell you just about how to get your bills paid. I understand that. But you need to let God handle that part while we learn how to live godly. How to be children of God. How not to be acting crazy and foolish. Like Sister Miranda said, you know, you get you some new employees, God done gave you some help, and you sitting there complaining about what's wrong with your help. What if I just snatch your help back? Go do it all yourself again, since you know how to do it all. But God, she took heed to herself, and she heard the Spirit say, don't be unthankful. And she went in the Word, and she saw it and realized that what? I might have the help, may not be where it need to be yet, but God, thank you for what you did. I may not have all my bills paid yet, but thank you, God, for what I did. I might not have no bills yet, but thank you, God, I'm alive. In all things, giving God thanks. This is the will of God for us, because God knows that we didn't get here. All right, we didn't get wherever we are on our own or by ourselves, should I say. There was something that contributed to it. Look at what it says. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly. This means then, y'all, look, and I'm going to get ready to close. This means that the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying, I know. Don't get me wrong. All this he know. He said, but the Holy Spirit was, he made sure I understood what I was hearing. He said, in the last days, there are going to be people teaching devil doctrines. That should make me scared. I should be like, okay, look, if you teach us something, I need to find it in here. And not that you've twisted it around and made it say that. I need to see what this say. And if what this say match up with what you say, I'm good with that. But I'm not about to put my eternal salvation on a doctrine that the devil teaching. When I go back and I look right here, he says in verse 16, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so, this thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear you. There are people that tell you, oh, well, you ain't got to worry about it. God save you, you're going to be saved no matter what. Keep on listening to that lie. Now, some people say, well, now, come on now, Pastor. Well, look, this at best, if it ain't a lie, is this. God going to kill you if you stay in sin. Ain't no way God going to let you live in sin and think you saved. Come on now. We talking about serving a holy God, but we just live any kind of way, and we is cheering, and he okay with that. If that ain't a devil doctrine, they ain't one nowhere. God, from the beginning, when the children of Israel came out, they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He got mad. Moses come down through the tabs, that whole earth opened up, swallowed them people up. What they supposed to know? They whole life they've been living in Egypt. They've been worshiping calves and stuff, and they just started a little party down there. And God said, get down there. Your people done corrupted themselves. The God we serve, y'all, is a holy God. He's a righteous God, but he's a good father. He loves us. He ain't mad. All he wants us to do is acknowledge his character. He's like, now, come on now, don't bring me that nasty stuff. You know that ain't me. Don't bring me all that lust, and don't bring me all that wealth, talking all that crap about money all the time and always trying to be a baller. And I done already told you that the rich man gonna fade away like a flower. Why are you bringing me all of that? You know, I'm the preacher with the red bottom shoe. And I ain't talking about him if he is. I don't know. I'm just talking about. But, you know, I'm so busy doing this so y'all can see. The bottom of my shoe red. That supposed to mean something, I heard. You know, now I got a red shoe bottom. I'm really prospering. I got more on than the people out there needing to eat. You know what I'm saying? My suit cost me $5,000. My shoe cost me $3,000. But I'm blessed. Don't you want to be like me? No, no, not according to this, I don't. No, you don't have nothing I want. I am not interested in that because I will not be up there trying to explain to God why I got everybody else in the congregation trying to get them some shoes with red bottoms. And somehow that is their sign that they are in covenant with the God of heaven. The one on the cross, the one that got beat, the one that died, the one that got stripped, the one whose beard was torn out, the one who was abused for our transgressions so that we could get us some red bottom shoes. Glory to God, and a pinstripe suit. I ain't getting down on it. Yeah, y'all, Pastor, you know y'all. Yeah, you doing that because you just can't afford one, they say. No, I'm doing that because that don't say that. It doesn't say that. People say, well, if Jesus is here, would he drive a Mercedes? I have no idea. All I know is he rode on a donkey when he was here. So I can't tell you what he would or wouldn't do. All I know is that's not the way I determine if I'm in covenant with God. God says I'm supposed to be able to look at my life and see, does sin have dominion over me? In other words, can I not look? Can I have a wife and she be enough? Can I look at your little daughter and not be some lust-filled pedophile? Can I live my life in a way that is pleasing to God? And if I can't, I ain't got God. God ain't concerned about how much money I got. I can't keep my eyes off the little children. I can't keep my eyes off the women. I can't keep my eyes off porno screens. I can't keep my eyes off of nothing. But I got red bottom shoes. And people so caught up in what I got. And it ain't until what? I get exposed. Then everybody won't run away. That ain't my church. I ain't go there. I ain't had nothing to do with that. Or start circling the wagons to try to figure out how to protect us, which is what happened in that Baptist church. All these people that ain't nobody know. It happened in the Catholic church. It ain't just about Catholic, but everybody. So all of a sudden, I'm doing something I ain't supposed to be doing. Now everybody running around trying to protect pastors. Well, we know he ain't really like that. Well, what he like then? He did it. He ain't really like that. The devil. Well, the devil didn't do that. Pastor did that. God said, Pastor did that. I mean, I know I'm preaching dangerous stuff because the reality is the devil ain't never letting up on you. It ain't like you go home and I get to go and sit in a box somewhere covered up. The same TV is on, the same people running around with no clothes on, the same thing going on with me as well. And I see all of that and got to do something with what I'm doing. Because the truth of the matter is, you got to understand, though, you got to take authority over this thing. And I'm not saying that you got to, you all strong, because you're not. That's what you got to understand. You got to say, God, if you don't step in my life, I don't know where my areas and my ills are, but I know the enemy will come in. He'll destroy everything I can, and the very people you're trying to help, they got to walk away too. Because the first thing they say is, we heard about power that obviously is nothing but a fairy tale. And we got to know that this is not true. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,